Assalamu alaikum, girls. I hope you're all in the best of health and iman, inshallah. Welcome back to another episode on the eMuslima podcast. In today's podcast, we're going to be talking about ways in which we can clean our hearts, especially over time when we are getting lost in this dunya. It's very easy for our hearts to become dirty, especially when we are sinning. Our sins, they produce a black dot. Every single time we sin, a black dot appears on our hearts. And so eventually our hearts become black. And that is something that we are trying to get rid of. And of course, when we clean and purify our hearts, yes, they're not going to stay clean forever. We are going to be sinning. That's why it's really important that we are cleaning it on a regular basis. There's no point in cleaning it once and then expecting it to be clean. When over time, when you let things such as sins, think of sins as like dirt. When you let dirt and dust pile up and all of these negative influences and things that are causing your heart to be dirty, your heart over time will become black. And that's how you know you've kind of lost yourself in this dunya. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to also be talking about the nur of our hearts and ensuring that we are making the most of the nur that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us by feeding it with external nur, which I'll be talking about in a bit more detail later. Cleaning our hearts is so important in Islam because it helps us to purify our intentions and our actions, but also develop a closer relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it also helps us to avoid things such as negative qualities like jealousy, greed and arrogance, and to cultivate positive qualities such as compassion, humility and gratitude. And obviously by cleaning our hearts on a regular basis, we become better Muslims and we have a better understanding of ourselves too. We have a better understanding of things that we need to work on, and we produce goals for ourselves. And that's where Islamic goals come into practice, where we make sure that every single day we are doing what we can, even if it's something little, but we are one step further and closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than we were yesterday. And it's really important that we have to realize the more we purify our hearts, the more Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves seeing us try for Him and try to purify our hearts on a regular basis. Even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran that indeed He succeeds who purifies his own self. So when we're talking about purification, we're talking about the heart and soul. And then carrying on, and indeed he fails who corrupt his own self. So as you can see with this Quran verse, it's actually making us, you know, take accountability for our actions, because in the Quran verse is saying indeed he succeeds who purifies his own self. Think about how many words relate to us, like his own, who, that all talks about us being accountable for cleaning our hearts. We can't just expect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to clean our hearts for us, because that's not how it works. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in the Quran that He will only change the condition of the believer in which that believer changes himself. And I think that's really important, because it just goes to show that it's a test of faith, and it's a test to see if you are truly a believer of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if you genuinely want to please Allah. Because if you genuinely want something, if you genuinely love Allah and you want Allah's love, you are going to put in the work to get Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love. When Allah can see that you are trying so hard, of course He's going to give you that support that you need. Of course He's going to uplift you and make it easy for you, but you need to put the work in. And I think nowadays in this dunya, we all just kind of expect Allah to purify our hearts and just to make things easy for us, when we aren't making the dua that we need to and we aren't doing the ibadah that we need to. We still expect it all from Allah. Again, Allah, you know, blesses whom He wills, and that is up to Allah completely. But if we really want to reap the rewards, it's so important to put in that work. And the nicest thing is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's Al-Shakur, so He appreciates every little thing we do. Doesn't matter, and we're talking about the Almighty here, okay? The one that is greater than mankind, just the greatest. He owns the heavens and the earth and the universe and everything below and above the universe. Absolutely eternal. And it's important to think that somebody so magnificent, such as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He appreciates one tiny small deed. But whereas in this dunya, it's like nowadays we live in a society where we need to work really, really hard, and that you know, doing one little good thing doesn't mean anything in this dunya anymore when it comes to pleasing people. That goes to show how corrupt this dunya is in terms of his expectations. Whereas it's actually very easy to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he is the main boss if you think about it. He is the one that we need to please. And if Allah can, you know, be pleased at the fact that we are doing this consistent small deed, I think it just goes to show how accepting Allah will be of anything that you do when you're trying to seek the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm also going to talk about something as well, and that is to do with the nur of the heart and how to, you know, improve and increase your nur. Again, before I start kind of talking and rambling on, I just want to say I'm not a scholar, you know, I'm not knowledgeable the way people might think I am. I'm really not, you know. All praise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anything that I mention in my podcast is from my own research and just from, you know, being a seeker of knowledge, just like any other Muslim. And it's our duty at the end of the day to seek knowledge as much as we can to better ourselves. So, and also to kind of share that knowledge as well, hence why I have started this podcast, alhamdulillah. But yeah, I wanted to talk about something that I read the other day, and it was actually a really beautiful concept. And so it was about how when we are born and when we enter this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he breathes in our soul into our bodies, that soul contains nur, and that nur is called the inner nur, the internal nur, the nur that will always reside in our souls. And you have to remember that when we're growing up in this life, the state of our hearts and minds change. Our physical body also changes. But one thing that does not change from when we enter this world to when we leave is our souls. Our souls don't grow. They stay the exact same. So there is literally nur in that soul just from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala making us a Muslim, making us a believer of him, making us a servant of him. There is already nur in that. So it's all about cleaning that nur and allowing that nur to ignite throughout your entire life. And I think it's really important to also remember that when your iman is low and that you are not doing the best when it comes to your ibadah, you still have that nur inside of you because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made you a believer. But it's all about making that nur so bright and so radiant. Think about like batteries and bulbs, for example. Bulbs, if you don't like recharge the batteries or so, they will slowly die out and the light in the bulb will slowly start to dim. It still has nur, but it dims a lot. Also, when you don't clean your light bulb, they do dim as well. So it's the same concept as well when it comes to the nur in our souls. And it's really important to realize that the nur within us is what's going to radiate outside of us. And now I hear a lot of sisters, like when they approach one another, and it's really beautiful seeing this actually, they're like, you've got so much nur in your face, etc. And sometimes like you would think it's just to do with like makeup or something. That's how they kind of talk about it, like, oh, you've got so much nur from your highlighter, because nur is an Arabic word for light. And so I think it gets that kind of term gets overlooked, and I think it's really important to realize that true real nur radiates from your skin and from your human, from what is within your heart. So there are many ways that we can talk about nur in terms of how to ignite that. And so you have this inside nur, right? But to make it really shine, it's important that we consider the external nur, so the nur from the outside. So what do I mean when I'm talking about the nur from the outside? So I am talking about the ibadah that you do, the acts of worship that you can do, such as praying your salah 5 times a day, reading Quran, doing tafsir, doing your dhikr, adhkar, anything that remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that will then ignite that, will that nur there in itself, the beauty in itself already kind of replenishes your heart. It nourishes the state of your heart because that is what your heart needs. So imagine that clashing, I don't want to say clashing, I don't think that's the right word, but imagine the external nur meeting the nur that's in your soul. It's literally light upon light, and the lights clash so much, they shine so bright. And I think it's a really important concept, like you have that nur inside of you, but if you really want to shine bright, it's important that you let the external nur meet your internal nur. And so that's the best way it can work. So again, the internal nur is the nur that's in your soul, and then your external nur that is, I'm saying the word nur a lot, but the external nur, the nur in the outside, that is the ibadah that you do. So when these two things come hand in hand, one, you're a believer, two, you are doing all of the acts that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to do, that comes in hand so that when those two things meet, honestly, you are at your highest. You are at the most radiant time of your life and you are the most glowing and you are literally the light. And that's how bright you are as well. That is how bright you have become. And that is your potential. So think about it this way. You can shine bright. Doesn't matter what stage in life you are. You have to realize you have this nur inside. But you need to make that light really, really bright. And everybody has that potential because light can be bright, but we just have to put in that effort when it comes to our ibadah. And so that's how we will only be able to see light radiating from our human self. And we start looking at ourselves in a different way. When you start implementing Allah's words into your daily life, slowly and surely, inshallah, over time, one, you're going to perceive yourself differently. You're going to look differently as well. When I say look differently, I'm not talking about your features changing or like clear skin or anything like that. It's more to do with how you perceive yourself. So you find yourself more beautiful. Everything stays the same, but you find yourself more beautiful. And that's because you're more accepting of yourself as a Muslim. You've started to accept what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you in terms of your features. And I think that is so beautiful. Also, you're able to deal with situations a lot better because you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more. So this is what I mean. These are actually the effects of the nur, but it's important to remember that if we want to feed that nur, if we want to make our light the brightest it can be, and we want that to radiate, and we want our energies to radiate positively and have an impact on other people, we need to fuel it with the ibadah that we do. Now, it doesn't matter if it's lots and lots of ibadah or if it's little ibadah. For example, stick to focusing on your obligatory acts of worship, because once you have that settled, that's already going to increase your nur so much, inshallah. So I really do recommend it, and there are just so many benefits, because it's all about self-love in Islam. All of this nur stuff that I'm talking about, I'm trying to articulate it in a way where it's to do with self-love and self-perception and how you perceive yourself as a Muslim. And of course, the only way that you can perceive yourself as a Muslim and in a positive way is to keep fueling it with the ibadah that you do, inshallah. So that's how we can talk about nur, and that's what I mean when I talk about ensuring that you have that nur and that you are allowing that to increase so that you can perceive yourself in a positive way. And also another thing, another benefit is when you start perceiving yourself positively and you start perceiving the things around you positively and your relationships and your career, everything starts to fall in place and you start becoming more grateful. And that's actually what I've noticed within myself. I've noticed the more I focused on fueling myself and my positivity with the ibadah that I do, it actually starts to reflect on the things that I do in my daily life. Because I'm focusing on Allah and I'm making that my medicine, next thing you know, everything else in my life starts to fall in place, subhanAllah. And it's such a beautiful concept. And I really think that's how we should view it. And honestly, you might see results straight away. Again, Allah is Al-Alim. He knows everything. He knows beyond what we know. But it's also important to remember that it will take time. But that's the beauty of it. The more you strive to purify your intentions and purify your hearts, the more light it's going to become. Same with cleaning, same with what I just talked about before, and that's cleaning your hearts. It's so important to clean your hearts on a regular basis because they become so dirty. So when we remove that dirt, it becomes bright again. Same with the nur that I was talking about, the nur of your heart. And trust me, it will radiate from you. And a lot of people will see that as well. And more so, it's come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is actually a very big blessing that we should all be thankful for. And, you know, some of you actually may be listening to this and thinking, you know what, I've actually experienced this. And moments like that, when you experience something such as an increase in nur and a purification of your heart, it's a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah wanted that for you. And if He didn't, He wouldn't have guided you. And remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides whom He wills. So again, very big blessing and an underrated blessing that we need to reflect upon. So that also comes in with cleaning our hearts as well, trying to reflect on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessings and the mental little blessings that he gives us for the state of our hearts. Okay, alhamdulillah, so let's move on and talk about the things that we can do to increase the nur of our hearts. And it's really important to realize that, like I said before, we already have nur, we just need to make it bright. And because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us Muslims, so that in itself is so much nur and so much goodness, and that's how bright it is, subhanallah. So let's talk about practical things that we can do and that I have been implementing, and I've also kind of been researching as well and talking to like friends and family in terms of what they do to increase their nur. So this is what I've kind of come up with, and please do feel free to share anything that you think is really impactful, and inshallah I can do maybe a part two, but let's see. Okay, so let's get started. So number one, it's like the most obvious one, and that is to perform the 5 daily prayers with sincerity and devotion. That itself, like your obligatory acts of worship, that itself will increase your nur abundantly, and you will find it so beautiful. And do you know what it is with salah? It's as if, like, say for example, life without salah is like all of the problems that you face in the dunya, and I'm talking about little problems, you make it out to be so big. But then when you start performing salah, you actually realize, you know what, these problems around you, they're actually very minuscule. They're not as big or as intense that you make it sound to be, because when we give in to the problems of this dunya, when we give in to them, and you know, they love to feed off us and our emotions, when we give in to these problems, it starts becoming chaotic in our hearts. We start falling into the dunya. We start realizing that we need to please the dunya because of this pressure that the dunya and its problems have given us. But once we give those problems and, you know, just have tawakkul and put all of these problems and all of our affairs onto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we just pray and make dua, you actually realize your purpose, and that you have to realize actually it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that can take care of these problems, because Allahu Akbar, Allah is greater than anything. He's greater than all of your problems and everything combined. So it's important, again, that we make sure that we have that protection by praying our 5 daily prayers and realizing it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is in control. Because again, once you lose yourself to the dunya, your heart is more prone to becoming black. Your heart is more prone to becoming, having these black spots on it, to the point where you might end up losing yourself completely. But inshallah, it's not like that. So we have to put in the practices in place that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us. You also have to remember, Allah doesn't need our worship. Allah is self-sufficient. He doesn't need us, okay? All of the commandments that He has given to us, all of the things that we are obliged to do, is for our goodness. It's for our survival in this dunya, so that we can enter the akhirah in peace, inshallah. So that's number one. And number two is, and again, I'm going to kind of whiz through all of this because I have talked about it in my other podcast episodes as well. And I don't want to like talk about things way too much in depth because we're going to be here forever. And I have, alhamdulillah, quite a lot of ideas and things. Second one is to read and reflect on the Quran regularly. Number three, practice good manners and character. This is so important. Akhlaq and adab is so important, having good manners, because that is our duty as Muslims. One of our duties as Muslims is to have good character. And you also have to remember, put it this way, it doesn't matter how much you pray. It does matter to some extent, of course it does, but none of that will matter if you have a bad tongue, or if you speak bad words or ill talk or slander somebody. Because you can pray 5 times a day, read your Quran, do all of the obligatory acts of worship, but you have to remember your character and the things that come from your mouth and what you do with your hands, that all of that takes part in obligatory acts of worship as well. So if you're constantly praying 5 times a day, but then you're backbiting, all of your deeds can easily be wiped out just for that one bad single deed. Again, Allah is Al-Alim. He knows what we do not know. But it's really important that we stray away from that, because our character, our iman, our character is literally on the same level as salah and respecting our parents. These are the three things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala requires from us. Our salah, our, you know, the how good we are to our parents, but also our character. Again, character also lies in the fact that we are good to our parents. But you know, it's just so important to remember that when we make things easy for other people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make things easy for us. There's actually a hadith where Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was saying the most beloved deed to Allah is that when you are beneficial to somebody else, when somebody else can benefit from you to promote and increase their goodness. But also it's really important to have good manners around people who are non-Muslims, because again, you are representing Islam in a world that doesn't like Islam or doesn't want to accept Islam, because it's one of the, you know, it's the fastest growing religion in the world, subhanAllah. But you also have to remember that it's really important when people on the, especially the media, when they try to look down on us, actually, it's important to realize that we need to make sure, because people listen to the news, okay? A lot of people just listen to whatever is on the news. The older generation might not have social media, so they might not access different types of news and just, you know, the social media perspective on reality and the things that are happening. It's really important that when you go out to the world and when you're speaking to strangers, you are representing Islam, because you can have that impact on somebody else. If somebody sees that you are speaking bad and that you don't have a nice tongue and that you're just not a nice person, they're gonna not only one, they're gonna associate Islam to you, especially if it's someone that's never been exposed to Islam. You could be leaving that first big impression on them, and that can change everything. Whereas your character, subhanAllah, you never know. That could be the first step into somebody thinking that they want to be interested in Islam. So it's really important that we think about it in that manner, because honestly, people. One thing that I always tell myself is that people will always forget about things that you say and what you do, but they'll never forget how you make them feel. And trust me, if you hurt someone, they're gonna remember how they felt. They might not remember the exact words, but they're gonna remember how you felt. Even after 50 years, people will still, you know, associate you with how they felt. So it's important that we spread goodness, just the way our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and all of our other prophets, you know, peace be upon all of them, how they acted so righteously and with a kind heart, even when people were looking down on them. So we need to do the best that we can to make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pleased with us and our actions, because that is how Allah taught us for our characters to be. Okay, so moving on. So number four is giving charity and helping those in need. Again, it's all about, you know, maintaining a good character. And having a good character, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be so pleased with you. There is so much endless nur in just being good to people. Number five is obviously fasting during Ramadan and other recommended days. Number six is perform voluntary acts of worship. But all I'm going to say before I start talking about voluntary acts of worship, and I say this every single time I mention voluntary acts of worship, it's important that if your obligatory acts of worship are not perfect, it's really important that you, I don't want to say perfect, I want to say consistent actually. It's really important that you are consistent with the obligatory acts of worship before you think about doing voluntary acts of worship. So for example, voluntary acts of worship includes obviously sunnah prayers and tahajjud, the night prayer. Number seven, and this is very important because this is actually a way to remove these black dots in your heart, and this is to do with constant purification of your heart, and that is to seek forgiveness and repent for your sins. So that is also really important. Every single time we don't seek for Allah's forgiveness, that black dot will always remain. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so merciful that when we sin, the angel that writes our bad deeds, the angel doesn't start writing immediately. Allah actually pauses that angel and tells the angel, wait for a certain amount of time, then record that bad deed. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, and he tells the angels that, you know, let's wait and see if my servant seeks for forgiveness before you write down the bad deed. Imagine, that's how merciful our Rabb is. And because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making it so easy for us to seek his forgiveness, like we don't even need to beg for his forgiveness. Once we have that intention, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts it. So again, it's really important that we are utilizing the mercy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us. So it's ensuring that no matter at the end of the day, make it into a routine. At the end of the day or after every single salah that you do, because use your salah as a checkpoint of remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to do things to do with your ibadah. So for example, if you're somebody that forgets to ask for forgiveness, because we get so consumed with this dunya, it's really easy to forget to stop and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. So after every single salah, I always recommend and tell people, and I also tell myself, again, big reminder to myself foremost, is to never get up from salah straight away. It's really important that you make sure that you are sitting there and that you are remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you are making dua. Ask Allah for forgiveness. Because once you start asking Allah for forgiveness, the more you do it, the more you say astaghfirullah and you're seeking refuge in Allah and you are seeking for forgiveness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is literally purifying your hearts the more that you seek forgiveness. And you also feel like physically you've lifted a big burden off yourself sometimes. And you know what it is, and I've actually noticed this in myself, you know, when we have days where we're like, oh, I just feel so awful, and you don't have a reason for it, it's probably because you don't actually realize how much forgiveness that you need to seek. But once you start seeking for forgiveness, because remember, we have sins that we don't know about, you know, may Allah forgive us all, but we have sins that we don't know about because we do it without realizing. So it's maybe those sins that are building up to the point where you wake up and you just feel like your heart is just full. Pour it out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seek for forgiveness. And trust me, I have done those days where I have felt awful with, and I used to think like, nothing is bothering me. What actually is it? Why do I feel awful? Then I talk to Allah about it, I seek for forgiveness, and then honestly afterwards it's as if like this big, you know, weight off my shoulder has been lifted, and I didn't realize that I needed it. So keep that in mind as well, because sometimes when your heart feels heavy and you don't realize it, maybe it's a sign from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala where you need to seek for forgiveness in order to find that fulfillment and to clean your heart and to, you know, get rid of the dirt off your heart. Number 8 is remembering Allah through dhikr and remembrance. Number 9, and this is actually a really nice one, and this is a practical one actually, and that is to attend Islamic lectures and classes to increase your knowledge and understanding of Islam and of Allah. And I think that's also another thing, when you start understanding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's attributes and the qualities that Allah has, you have this positive perception in Allah and your iman suddenly increases. Like, alhamdulillah, I've seen it within myself. As soon as I've started to study Allah's name, like I'm on this journey and this goal right now. One of my Islamic goals is to understand Allah's names. And it's not easy. Like, it's really not easy. Because I don't just want to remember them. I think one of my biggest goals is the fact that I just want to, like, I want it to be second nature where I just use all of Allah's names in my du'as and I can immediately tell you what his names are. So it is quite a journey and it is quite difficult. But, you know, may Allah make it easy for all of us. Ameen. So again, just making sure that you are understanding who Allah is. A lot of us can say that we know who Allah is, but do we really know what Allah has to offer? That's something that we're not aware of. Yes, we know that he is the greatest above everything, but we need to know all of his different attributes and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can offer that no human can even offer, like 0.00001% of it. So it's important that we, you know, increase our knowledge through that as well, because it allows us to implement the knowledge that we learn and the attributes of Allah to our own life as well. You know, like for example, like I said before, Allah is Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. He is the most compassionate. He is the most merciful. That means that is a quality of Allah, and that is a quality that Allah loves to see in his servants. So we need to be kind and we need to be compassionate to others as well. So again, character developing is so important if you want to increase the nur of your heart and you want to purify your heart. Because when you start making it a part of your character, it actually makes your heart more clean than ever. It's like you've sorted out this environment that will stop all of this dirt and dust getting onto your heart. So it's your environment that's also very important. Okay, number 10, and that is to make dua and supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guidance and blessings. Number 11 is visiting the sick and help those who are struggling. This is so important because again, it's our duty to look after each other and to make sure that we are there for each other. Because again, we have to remember, if we make things easy for other people, if we brighten up someone's day, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do that for you, but way more. When you do that for his creation, he will look after you in a way that you could not have imagined. You want to be kind to someone? Watch. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. He is the most compassionate, most merciful. So he will, when it comes to your blessings for what you've done for other people and the good that you've done, he's going to multiply it and he's going to intensify that kindness. And that is how we should perceive it. If we want Allah's love, we need to love his creation. If we want goodness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we need to be good to his creation. Number 12 is be kind to obviously our family and our friends, our neighbours. Number 13, avoid backbiting, gossiping and other harmful speech. Number 14, and actually, you know what? This is a really nice one, and that is to treat animals and the environment with respect and care. Because I have seen crazy things on TikTok, astaghfirullah, of very sad things happening to animals, and it's just such a, it's horrible, because I just think this is Allah's creation. Like, yeah, they're not humans, but still, Allah created, that's a living being. You know, and we need to be good to animals. Remember that lady that was sinning so much, and when she gave, I think she, again, please correct me if I'm wrong, but she gave water to, I think, a cat, a stray cat or a dog, and that one good deed, because she was kind to Allah's creation, I think, I don't want to say she entered Jannah, because I don't know, but I know that Allah wiped her sins, or most of her sins, or something, okay? But she was doing a lot of bad things, and then all of the sins that she got from doing those bad things, they were erased because of that one good deed that she did to look after Allah's creation. And it's also another thing, like when I see people like litter and things, I just don't like it, because I'm like, you are ruining Allah's dunya. Or like, for example, if I see people, you know, throwing their takeaway boxes or something in the bin, or like if the bin's full, they'll just kind of like leave it around the sides of the bin. And then next thing you know, a bird's out here trying to eat it. And it's just, it's not nice. Like, it's not a nice thing to look, see, because it's Allah's creation. As much as we need to help each other as humans, we need to also help Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation as well, such as animals and the environment and plants and things. Number 15, and that is to be honest and trustworthy in your dealings with others. This is so important. Like, I don't even know where to begin with this. Being honest with your dealings with others, not just being honest with others, but your dealings when you're interacting with them. This is so important, because you know what? One thing that tends to happen, we as humans, when people lie, you see some people lying and they will do the most to hide their lies by maybe being two-faced, for example. And even though it's not directly hurting that person because you are lying to them, they're not going to know the truth. But you forget that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching. And that should be enough to scare you and make sure that you are on the right path, and that make sure that you are being accountable for your actions. And you know what? The best type of goodness, I personally think the best type of goodness is the goodness where you are trying your very best to remove any bad habits. For example, your bad habit could be lying. But if you are trying to remove that lie, so say for example, you're in a moment and you're thinking for the benefit of yourself, you feel like it's easy to lie. Yeah, like we're talking about dunya benefits here. Like, yeah, I'll be benefited if I lie to this person. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching you. But if you can stop yourself, stop that temptation, okay, the more you try to remove goodness, the harder shaitan will make every single trial be for you. And shaitan will try to beautify that lie and make you feel like the benefit is greater than the reward, or the benefit that you get from lying is greater than the reward you get from being honest from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what shaitan will start to do. So it's important that you hold yourself no matter how hard it is. Because again, Allah will see how much you're not only going to get rewarded for not lying, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will stop you for the fact that you even tried and you were mindful of Allah at that point. You will get more reward for that. So again, being honest with others, and you know, we have that imana. Allah has given us that responsibility, that trust when it comes to people, that we treat them fairly and accordingly. Okay, next one, number 16, and that is to show gratitude and thankfulness for the blessings in your life. Number 17, practice patience and perseverance in the face of adversity. This is so important, because practicing sabr is very painful. Like, I'm sure everybody listening to this, and even, you know, myself, when we go through hardship, it can be difficult, and that sabr can kill us. But you know what, when we're going through hardship, and if we fall into the negative aspects of hardship where it allows us to stray away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we have truly lost in life, and we've lost our akhirah. And that's actually the biggest thing. You know, a hardship that you are dealing with correctly in a manner that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is going to bless you so much. And trust me, and I always tell people this when they're like, they're going through so much hardship. yes, you don't know what the outcome is going to be. You have a certain outcome that you want, but you should never know that that will be the outcome. Maybe Allah wants you to have that outcome and He will probably give you that outcome. Or because He is Al-Aleem, He's all-knowing, He knows what we do not know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees the bigger picture. Perhaps Allah has given you another beautiful ending. But just note the fact that when you hold onto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, does not matter how hard it gets, as soon as you start holding onto your faith and holding onto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, doesn't matter what the outcome is and what the ending is, you will end with a beautiful ending. That ending might be far away. You might not see that ending. That ending might be sooner than you expected, but it will be beautiful. And that beautiful ending, when you go through that beautiful ending, that's when you're going to realize that the hardship and the pain that you went through was minuscule. It was so small, and you're going to forget about that pain as well. You're going to say it was worth it because I had so much faith in my Rabb. I had so much faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I promise you now, and I actually went through this, even when things get so impossible, a sabr that is painful, but so long that it pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, honestly, that is the best type of sabr that you could have, and that is the best type of reward you will receive when it comes to your sabr. A sabr that seems so impossible to carry on, yet it is so pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because you are doing it for Allah's sake. You're not doing it for yourself. You're holding on to Allah because you trust Allah. And trust me, that trust is all you need to get yourself into Jannah. Honestly, it really just takes that, to be honest. Okay, moving on, because you've got quite a bit to go through and I'm still going through my list that I've written on my phone. Number 18, this is also very important as well. Make an effort to reconcile with those who have been wronged or who have wronged you. And I think this is important, that you go to sleep with a peaceful heart. Because if you go to bed, and this is what I always tell myself and I tell others as well, that when you don't make up with somebody, or if you're not civil with someone, what if this person was a close relative or a close friend of yours, and you go to bed and you don't make up, and then one of you passes away? That is going to be heartbreaking. That is going to be so heartbreaking, because that's it. That was the end. And because you let your ego and your pride get in the way, you now can't reconcile with that person. So it's important that as a believer, and when you're purifying your hearts, this is so important, when you're purifying your hearts, you need to make sure that every single night that you are going to sleep, that your heart is at peace, and that you have dealt with the dealings of others accordingly in a way that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you reconcile with someone, doesn't mean you need to be best buddies with them. That's not how it works, okay? You just need to make sure that there is no bad blood between you, and you just can move forward in your two separate directions. Be civil with each other. Don't backbite one another. If you see each other, say your salams, you know, be acquaintances. But just because a lot of people think when they, you know, need to make up with somebody, they need to, you know, it needs to be the same way that it was before, but it doesn't need to be. You just need to make sure that there's no bad blood, because honestly, you never know when you're going to pass away, and it will be a big regret as well, and it will be something that you're going to think about a lot. So when it comes to purifying your hearts, it's important that every single night before you go to bed, you think about others, you think about if you've wronged anybody, seek there for forgiveness, and anybody that, you know, you feel like has hurt you, you maybe speak to them about it and see if you can go anywhere. But either way, make sure that you go to sleep with a peaceful heart, inshallah. Number 19, seek out the company of righteous and pious individuals. And I have so many podcast episodes to do with company and having good friends, so please do, you know, have a listen to that as well, inshallah. Number 20 is to make a sincere effort to follow the example of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is how I tell myself, right? Every time, and you know what, I try my best. I am human, so I do have flaws, but I always tell myself that whenever I speak to someone, whatever action that I do, whenever I'm in a situation, one, I think, what would Allah expect me to do? What would Allah want me to do? And the second question is, because Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was made exactly like us. He was a human as well. He was made out of the same things that we were made out of. And he was a human with emotions as well. He wasn't self-sufficient. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not self-sufficient, because he needed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just like us, we need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as a human, you know, the leader of our mankind, what would our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam do in that position, in that hardship, you know, in that situation, that conflict that you are going through? Keep those two questions in mind and follow that. So for example, if somebody is screaming and shouting at you, think about whether, you know, if that was Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what would he do? He wouldn't shout back. You know, he wouldn't shout back. He wouldn't start cussing people out. He wouldn't start using foul language. He'll probably just remain silent, or he will speak in a kind manner, or he will find a solution to that problem that makes everybody happy. So follow the positive route of the sunnah. It's really important. And again, of course, to increase your nur, it's important to focus on building and strengthening your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the end of the day. And obviously, like I said before, this can be done through the acts of ibadah that you do, the good deeds, and seeking knowledge and guidance from the Quran and Sunnah. And it's also important to surround yourself with positive influences to avoid negative behavior and habits that can dim your nur. And it's important because, again, if you have that negative influence around you, without realizing, your light might go. And that's a sad thing, and you don't want it to go. So by striving to live a life of faith and righteousness, and, you know, it's important that we're trying to strive, okay? We're not going to live that life because we're not perfect, but we can at least aim for it and strive for it. Then you can increase your nur and draw closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there are other things as well, such as, for example, making an effort to be mindful and present in your daily life. So for example, maybe having like a self-reflection journal or just a notebook where you can reflect. If you want, if you're somebody that writes, write down how you're feeling and your connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, like, I am seeing so many beautiful small businesses who are coming out with Islamic planners, and even my like little small business, I also do the same thing as well, because it really is helpful, and it allows you to let down your thoughts and answer the correct questions and really figure out what you are looking for when it comes to your ibadah. So it's important that, you know, even do it after every single salah. Don't just get up from your salah straight away. Sit down and really ponder and reflect and write stuff down. Write it on your notes. I do a lot of the time writing stuff on my phone in my notes section. So do that as well, because it allows you to clear your thoughts. Honestly, it's the best thing. When you start clearing your thoughts and you're letting it out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it really is the nicest thing. The next one is to, so this is, I think we're on number 22. We've actually got quite a lot. Number 22, that is, strive to be a source of positivity and inspiration to others. Honestly, as a Muslim woman, I think a big gift that you can have is inspiring others. And I think it's just so beautiful, because when you inspire others to be better for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then other people, even though you're not trying to please them, but people will keep you in your du'as. And that is the most beautiful thing, when people make du'a for you, because when people make du'a for you, it shows that they love you and they appreciate you. And that is actually a reflection of your character. You know, when you do good for others and when you're in your du'as, it really means they appreciate you. And obviously, if you're in their du'as, that also goes to show that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Almighty, appreciates you and your goodness. Number 23, and that's to seek forgiveness and make amends with those you have wronged. So I think I've touched upon that already. Number 24, and that is to be humble and avoid arrogance and pride. Number 25, reflect on the signs of Allah's creation and the beauty of the natural world. This is so important, because when we're talking about nur, right? I'm not talking about the internal nur and the external nur, such as ibadah, but there is nur in the world. In our dunya, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created this dunya for its exact purpose, a purpose that we don't need to know about, but He created this dunya in such a beautiful way that there is nur around us. Think about it. You know, we wake up to a beautiful sunrise. You know, we go to sleep with a beautiful sunset. That is nur. There is nur in everything. You know, we have vision. There's already light, you know, also like scientifically as well, you know, that light that reflects from our eyesight is so beautiful, because that is nur given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ability to see Allah's creation and appreciate it. So it's appreciating the nur around us, the nur that has already been given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is this dunya and everything that He has made. So such as, you know, the sun, the moon, the sea, the plants, it's the animals. It's really beautiful to always ponder, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, everything that he makes serves a purpose, more than one type of purpose. So we need to see the beauty in that as well. You know, sometimes I actually catch myself thinking where I'm, you know, having my like daily walks, and I'll look at the sunset and it's like the horizon and it's just different shades of like pink, orange, yellow. And I just look and I think, Allah, who are you? Like, obviously, I'm saying this in a way where I'm in awe, you know, being in awe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I genuinely think like, Allah, who are you? You know, what do you look like? What, you must be so beautiful because, you know, look at this dunya. It's beautiful. Some countries, you know, not some countries, all countries and every corner of the world has so much beauty in it. And we're all, you know, it's just all different types of species and animals and plants. Like, there's an endless list, and they're all made for a specific reason that we don't know about. And I think that is so beautiful. So I actually catch myself being in awe of Allah. When you're in awe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it really makes you realize that you're so grateful for Allah to make you as well. Because if Allah made a beautiful world, you know, it is so beautiful to think that Allah wouldn't have created this world without creating you. And everything is written, so it's beautiful. Honestly, it makes you feel the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even more. Okay, so the last one is number 26, and that is to make dua for guidance and blessings and trust in Allah's plan for your life. You know what? There is one dua that Allah will accept straight on the spot, straight away, and that is if you ask for Allah's guidance. And I think that is the biggest dua and the most effective dua that I have ever made to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where I have actually seen it happen. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just guides you to the right thing. And you might not know where He's guiding you to, but the more goodness and the good opportunities that He puts in front of you, where it allows you to be closer to Allah, take those opportunities. Say, for example, with me, if I have finished a lesson early, or if I have a free period where I'm not teaching my classes because I'm a teacher, if I'm not teaching, I think, you know what, I don't have any other work to do. So what do? Do I just sit there? No, it's an opportunity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you for you to now utilize that time in a beautiful way to be close to Him. So use that time to watch an Islamic lecture. Use that time to complete that juz that you're reading in the Quran, or to complete that surah, or practice your memorization. Because those are also moments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling you to come and follow this direction. You know, you have this opportunity to be close to me, follow it. Subhanallah, it's truly so beautiful the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala works, because we don't know how Allah works. It's a complete mystery, and we don't need to know. We just need to place our trust in Him, because He is the one who created this dunya, the heavens and the earth and everything above, below, all of it. You know, this entire, you know, everything, literally every single thing, Allah created it. So who knows exactly where we're going in this dunya? And you know, may we be blessed to reach akhirah and to enter Jannah as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us for any wrongs that we have committed, and to purify our hearts and allow us to always be mindful of Him. Ameen. So remember that increasing your nur is a lifelong journey. It doesn't happen straight away, and it requires consistent effort and dedication. And by striving to live a life of faith and righteousness, again, you can increase your nur by, you know, drawing yourself closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And nur refers to the divine light of Allah, and it is often described as the spiritual light that illuminates the heart and soul of a believer, like I said before. And also bringing the clarity, guidance and peace together. You know, nur is closely linked to the concept of our iman, and is believed to be a sign of a strong and sincere connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as Muslims, we need to believe that nur can be increased through these acts of worship. So our external nur that is given to us, these opportunities that Allah has given to us to be close to Him, these good deeds that Allah has led us to do, and seeking knowledge and guidance from the Quran and Sunnah. And obviously, again, by striving to live a life that is to do with faith, it allows us to be close to Allah all the time as well. And nur is also associated with the concept of tawhid, or the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we need to believe that nur is a manifestation of Allah's divine unity and power. Subhanallah. It's truly so beautiful, because nur is a broad concept. And when we, you know, associate nur with Allah being nur, because one of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name is the light, an-nur. And it's just truly beautiful, because that is Allah. And if Allah is radiating this beautiful light in different forms, so through the opportunities that He gives us, through our blessings, through our hardships, honestly, that's going to ignite the nur that He has put within us to increase. And that is so beautiful, because we look at life and we look at this dunya in a more beautiful way, in a way where we are more grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also with nur, we need to remember that it's linked to the concept of taqwa. So being God conscious and, you know, having that piety and being mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the foundation of, you know, doing things that are morally correct. And nur isn't just limited to Muslims or believers alone. You know, it's a universal force that can be experienced by anyone who seeks it with sincerity and humility. Again, it all comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And nur, like I said before, it associates with the cleanliness and the state of our hearts. And this is seen as the seat of spiritual awareness and understanding in our Islam. And it is believed to be a source of blessings and reward for believers as well, both in this life and in the hereafter, inshallah. And even though we think of nur as a physical light, but also we need to think of nur as a spiritual light. Okay, this whole idea of inner nur, external nur, meeting together, that is a spiritual nur, a spiritual light that can be experienced through faith, prayer, and good deeds. And again, it's just so important to realize that, you know, nur is also a source of protection, and it's a guidance for believers, helping us to navigate these challenges and the temptations of this world. And nur is often associated with the Quran, which is considered to be a source of divine guidance and an illumination for Muslims as well. So again, there's just so many things that can be said about nur and light, and we just need to see it as this beautiful radiance that will uplift us and give us ease, because that comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also states in Surah 24 verse 35 that, you know, He is the light of the heavens and the earth, and the example of His light is like a niche within which is a lamp, and that lamp is within a glass, and the glass as if it were a pearly white star lit from the oil of a blessed olive tree, neither of the east nor of the west, His oil would almost glow even if untouched by fire. Light upon light, Allah guides to His light whom He wills, and Allah presents examples for the people, and Allah is knowing of all things, subhanAllah. So this verse from the Quran describes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the light of the heavens and the earth. It also highlights the importance of Allah's light in our lives and how it can guide us towards righteousness. Okay, so that is all, my lovelies. I pray you enjoyed listening to this podcast, inshallah. I absolutely loved making this episode because it was really beautiful talking about nur, and because I was reading upon, you know, Allah's name An-Nur, I've tried to kind of delve into His beautiful name even further. And subhanallah, when you think about nur, it's just such a beautiful aspect in this dunya, and it can lead to such righteousness and taqwa as well. So may Allah make our journey so easy, ameen, where we, you know, allow ourselves to be so radiant, where we're literally glowing because of the ibadah that we do and that strong faith that we have in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because believe me, once you have the state of your hearts cleaned, and remember, you don't just need to clean it once, you shouldn't just only be cleaning it once and expecting it to remain clean, because you're going to have these temptations coming at you left, right and center. But it's really important that you are cleaning it every single time, and you are renewing it, renewing that nur, and charging your heart up. Remember, charging those batteries, recharging it, taking care of that dust and dirt that builds up on your heart. And honestly, inshallah, you know, you will be guided, and you'll be at a point in your life where you are so satisfied and content with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. So finding your nur and making it the best that it can be and the most radiant, it is a journey, and it only comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this journey easy for us, make this journey easy for our families and our loved ones, and just make this journey so beautiful for the ummah, in which we can all find our nur again in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ameen. So take care, my lovelies, and see you in the next episode, inshallah. Take care. Assalamu alaikum.